Hosanna, Lord, save us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you alone can save us. You alone can take away our sin. You alone can make us right with God. Lord Jesus, help us and our lives be all about you. For your glory, for your praise, that all the world may know that you are God's true Son, born to save the world from our sin. Let us, during this Holy Week journey to the cross with Jesus and then to the empty tomb, reflect a thankfulness, honoring your name and all that you, Jesus, have done for us, for you alone are able to rescue us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the questions, if you've ever had an interview, if you could spend one day with anyone in history, who would you choose? Who would you choose? Just think about that for a little bit. If you could choose one person in all of history just to spend a day with, maybe doing something, you know, what would you do? Who would you choose? And where would you meet them? It's an interesting question. And I think what really gets to the heart of it is why? Why would you like to spend that time with that person? I ask that question because in our next slide, we hear that some people came to Jesus and they said, "We want to see Jesus." They said, of all the people here in Jerusalem, the hundreds of thousands of people, these Greeks came to Jesus and to Philip and to Andrew, and they said, "We want to spend time with Jesus." And, you know, we don't know if they actually got to see Jesus, but maybe they followed right behind Andrew and Philip, and they were there with Jesus, expecting maybe like a meal, a sit-down, some time. But Jesus uses this opportunity to teach. He teaches them, if you really want to see Jesus, if you really want to know me, then this is what you will, and this is what you must see. Jesus, during this Holy Week, he knows that Maundy Thursday is coming. He knows that he will be betrayed and arrested. He knows that he will be falsely accused, kind of in a mock trial. And eventually, Jesus will be sentenced to death as a criminal and lifted up on a cross. Jesus is preparing his disciples to understand why and what this means. Jesus actually answered them in this conversation, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And this hour has come, it's now at hand. In the past, Jesus was always talking about something that was going to happen in the future, but Jesus is saying now the hour is at hand for the Son of Man to be glorified. And I want to focus on that one word, this word glorified or glory. This word glory, it means to praise, to exalt, to honor, to lift up. In the last few weeks, we've had this theme of God getting the glory throughout these readings in the Gospel of John. One of the ways that Jesus and God is glorified is when people believe that in Jesus, that Jesus is God's Son. And so they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior. And so at the heart of glorifying God, this is what makes God the happiest. This is what pleases God the most, when people repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ as God. In John chapter 9, we heard about the man who was born blind. And Jesus was asked by his disciples, why? Why was this man born blind? And Jesus answered them that neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened. Why? Because of the work of God might be displayed in his life, that God will get the glory. And then last week we talked about the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection of Lazarus, that Lazarus was sick, and Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus saying, "Come, heal our brother." But Jesus waited. And we wonder, why didn't Jesus go right away? But Jesus explained to his disciples. He said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for what? It's for God's glory, so that the God's Son will be glorified through it. And so again, at the end of this story, this raising of Lazarus, we're told that many Jews, many people believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the one that was promised from God. And so we know that glory, you know, is something that God does through us. And now, what exactly is this? How do we glorify God, you and I? And so Jesus uses this time to teach what happens in our lives to give God glory. In John 12:24, he says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and does what? It dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, what will it produce? Many seeds. That's right, it'll produce many seeds. And so Jesus is teaching us that to glorify God, there's something in us that needs to die, something that needs to perish. We know that for us as Christians, this happens in our baptism, that when we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, our sinful nature is drowned in those baptismal waters, and what arises is a new creation. That the rest of our life, we live out our baptismal identity. We live out who we have become through God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Living not for ourselves, but living for him. We also hear Jesus talking about, in the next verse, that the Son of Man, the man who loves his life, will actually lose it. While the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Again, there's a dying here that occurs, that instead of, you know, loving this world and loving your life, is acknowledging that there's something bigger, there's something greater than just living for myself, than just enjoying everything in this world. Jesus says that in order to have real life and eternal life, there's a hating of this world, there's a denying oneself, not to live for this world, not to live for themselves, but to live for God and the glory of the Father. Finally, Jesus explains in one more passage, one more verse. He says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And so Jesus goes on to say, that as we follow Jesus, Jesus invites us to serve him, to serve others, even as he has served us. This is evident, and as on Monday, Thursday in the upper room, Jesus took off his outer garment and he washed his disciples' feet. He took upon the role of a servant and he told the disciples that to be great, we must serve. Ultimately, this week, Jesus serves the will of his Father by becoming a servant, to die, to suffer on the cross for you and for me. And so let me add one more aspect of what it means to glorify God. God is glorified when people believe that Jesus is God's Son. And secondly, God is glorified when people following Jesus serve him and love others. And so on this Palm Sunday, I want to challenge you. How are you loving God? How are you serving others? How are you taking, you know, this opportunity where maybe you have a little bit more free time, you're at home. It might be with a family. It might be a loved one. It might mean making a phone call or taking on the ancient act of writing letters, all right? I love people who write letters. It's not something that I've ever been good at, but this is a great season to encourage others, to share with others the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus says that when we serve him, we glorify him. In John chapter 15, just a couple chapters later, Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to me, my disciples. ultimately, Jesus says this is to his Father's glory, that when I, Jesus says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the type of death he was going to die. Jesus knew that to glorify God, to glorify God's work in this life, he was going to die on the cross. Today, as much as we sing Hosanna, say, Lord, save us, Jesus does save us through his death on the cross. Jesus takes our bondage, our fears, our selfishness, and he pays for our sins on the cross. And then he draws us to himself, that as we repent of our sins, as we die through repentance, turning away from this world, turning away from sin, we turn and receive life from Jesus. We receive life, forgiveness, and salvation. These are the gifts that Jesus offers us. Even as we look at the cross, we remember Jesus is glorified through his suffering. And I think during this COVID-19 epidemic, there's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of people who are wondering why, a lot of people who are saying, why is this happening? And it's my hope and my prayer that we may say, God, I don't understand it, but somehow may you be glorified. May my faith, may my service, may my act of loving others as you have loved me bring you glory. That when all of this is over, more people may believe, and that the church is active and living in loving people as Jesus has loved us. So I'd like to close today with one last image, and this is the image of a candle. And when you think about a candle, when is a candle most effective? When a room is completely dark, right? When a room is completely dark, this candle just shines such a bright light. And so in the midst of this world right now, where there is so much fear, so much anxiety, so much uncertainty, I would say it's a dark time. But it's my prayer that during this dark time, we may shine a light. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. To God be the glory. Let's shine the light of Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that your light may shine in us and through us. This world may see Jesus and trust in him. Help us, O Lord, that when we're fearful, when we don't know where to turn to Jesus, who is lifted up on the cross to draw all people to himself. Lord, may we be like that single seed, that you may plant us in this world, in our families, in our social networks, and that as we die to ourselves, as we die to this world, that our lives may bear much fruit for your glory, shining the light of Christ for all to see. We pray this in your name, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.